南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。Okay, hi everyone, how are you today? I hope you're well. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, thanks for being here. Special thanks to John. I just got a really amazing donation. Please remember when you send money either through PayPal me / Sifu Sylvain or through Patreon, or however. I've even gotten checks in the mail, so that doesn't happen often, but you know, sometimes from other countries it's easier to do that. PayPal is not quite the same or available everywhere in the world. At any rate, my point is, it's all tax deductible, so remember to save your receipts and give you a little help on your taxes. This is a nonprofit, after all. So if you need any information about that, just email me, tlksylvain@gmail.com. All right, so today I'm going to focus in a bit on the Bodhisattva practice discussed in the Nirvana. And I want to call your attention to something you hear me talk about all the time. And the way I talk about it are through insights I've gotten from reading lots and lots of scholarship, sutras, so on and so forth. And I came to it as a realization of my own, but also as I reread some parts of the Nirvana, I see where it's really spelled out. So lest you think I'm just inventing my own interpretation or my own type of Buddhism, I'm going to read the words of Shakyamuni here as they are translated in this Nirvana Sutra, and see if you can't detect almost the exact, well, I'll probably point it out, so there you go. Anyway, so I'm jumping to chapter 23 on pure action. And I'll just read a gatha here. This is Kashyapa on hearing the Buddha's words about... I'll just read the preface to it. That'll be better than mine. If any man, woman, Shramana, or Brahmin says there is no such thing as the way, enlightenment, or nirvana, know that such a person is an Echantika, a most spiritually deluded person. Stubborn, right? Not open-minded. Such a person is one of Mara's kindred. This is slandering Dharma. Such slandering is a slandering of all Buddhas. Such a person is not of the world and not of the world. They're living in delusion. They've bought samsara whole. Then Kashyapa, on hearing this, praised the Buddha in a gatha, saying, "The great compassionate one pities beings and has taken them, has them take refuge in him. He well extracts all poisonous arrows, so I call him a great doctor, a worldly doctor, effects a cure, but cures indeed, but the illness returns. The Tathagata cures, but the illness does not return. The world-honored one gives all beings amrta, the ambrosia of immortality." And that's a translation, and I'm going to correct it in a second. "When beings take part of this, or partake of this, they do not die, nor do they get reborn. The Tathagata expounds to me great nirvana when beings hear the closely guarded doctrine. They gain birthlessness and deathlessness. So, now that last line should clue you on something that you've heard me say a thousand times. This duality of mind. The mind of samsara, which is attached, admired, swimming in the rapids, right? The ambrosia of immortality. Well, I guess the key is in the use of the word ambrosia. I can't help but think jello with fruit and all that stuff. But the immortality, it's an unfortunate word because it points to eternalism, right? A soul or something of that nature. I don't think that's the right word for this translation. We're more to the point with ambrosia. In other words, that distinction that I make when we shift our mind's perceptive reality to that of energy formations, the equanimity of everything, a multicolored, multi-shaped, multi-form as it appears, are just instantiations, a varied instantiation, like raindrops. Raindrops, you can say raindrops, but they're all different, right? They're, I'll grant you, very similar, but they have different sizes, different weight, different composition. The water itself is different that comes from different storms. The wind that blows them around atomizes them. If it's not windy, they're larger drops. There's all kinds of variety in drops of rain. I mean, you don't need to stretch your imagination much to go, yeah, that's true, right? But objectively, it's just water. It's just rain. It's a process of condensation, precipitation, right? We can see that because we're not in the rain. We're not a drop of water. But samsara is like being a drop of water, demanding that your drop, you, this drop that you are, is unique and special. But from a distance, there's not much distinction, if any, right? So immortality is an unfortunate word because it points to so many other charismatic thought bubbles of magical existence. What's meant here is this ambrosia of ungluing ourselves from being in the rapids, right? Hitting the waves and the rocks and the this and that, cold, flipping over, and being on the sidelines watching the rapids and appreciating the great force, noise, the strengths and the hazards, and seeing them all at a safe distance, but appreciating nonetheless what is going on there. The immortality is a reference to non-birth death cycle. Point, 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 point. Birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. That immortality is pointing to that removal from birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, and looking at it like every birth and death is a drop of rain, and seeing the rain rather than each birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. Stand in a parking lot when it's raining and witness each drop hitting the ground. Birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, right? Remove yourself from that and look at it. It's very equanimous. Everything is doing the same thing. There are variations, but they're variations of the same thing, right? You can play the note A on how many instruments and non-instruments. You can find a wine glass and fill it with just enough water to resonate an A. They're all the same note, but in different form. So that's what that means. Anyway, go a little further and this is a long discourse from Shakyamuni here. I could just read all of it, but I don't want to. This is how the Bodhisattva observes pure Shila. The precepts are already pure with him. He then next practices meditation. Through practicing meditation, wherever he may be, he abides in right remembrance and does not forget. That is to say that all beings have the Buddha nature, that there are 12 types of scripture, and that the all Buddha world honored one is the eternal bliss and self, the self and the pure. Oh, now you remember maybe 2 months ago, maybe longer, I think it was in the Gosho, the Nichiren Gosho playlist. Well, it's not in the playlist, I don't think. He talks about the 12 divisions. There's a Gosho on that. But if you put in the search 12 divisions, you'll come up with a video that's simply about the 12 divisions. I don't think it's a two-part, but at any rate, you can find it. That's the reference here to the 12 types of scripture. All bodhisattvas abide in the Vaipulya, Great Nirvana Sutra, and see the Buddha nature. They rightly remember all of this and do not forget. And if you want a drill down on that, go to, it's referencing the Lotus Sutra here. Through the rewards of, what was the chapter title? The rewards of the preacher? That's translated differently depending on the translation. Through practicing dhyanas, meditations, they gain 11 shunyatas, emptiness. This is the practicing of the pure meditation of the bodhisattva, achieving shila and meditation. They next practice pure wisdom, which, as you know from Nichiren and from the Lotus Sutra, is Myoho Renge Kyo. By practicing wisdom, they first see the self in the body and the body in the self. There are no such clingings as this body, this self, no body, and no self. It's very important to hear that. It's not just that they don't cling to this self, but they also don't cling to no self. See, now early practitioners would take issue with that, because that was their whole basis of practicing Buddhism. The Sarvakas and the Pratyeka Buddhas working toward arhanship or ahatship. That's what they were pursuing. This is practicing the pure wisdom of the bodhisattva, not doing that. By practicing wisdom, the Shila, which he observes, is steadfast and does not move. O good man, it is like Sumeru, the mountain, which does not shake in spite of the winds from the four quarters. The same is the case with the Bodhisattva Mahasattva. He does not shake in spite of four inversions. O good man, the Shila, which the enlightenment, the Buddha wisdom, which the Bodhisattva knows, sees, and realizes, and upholds at that time, does not shake. That is why we say that the Bodhisattva knows, sees, and realizes is not of the world, not of samsara. The Bodhisattva has no repentance in his mind when he sees that the Shila he upholds is steadfast. There's nothing to regret. There's no anxiety. There's no stress. He's released himself from that. As there is no regret, there is joy in his mind. Because where does your mind go if you have nothing to be upset about or scared about or anxious about? Now think about that. I remember, I'll share a little anecdote with you. I remember having a discussion with a gal who was quite well off, no worries of money, And we were talking about what happens to children of wealthy families. A lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them struggle deeply with meaning, trying to find their place in life. They'll end up drug addicts or taking their own lives with drugs or without. They kind of lose their minds. Interesting, lose their minds. It's deeply unfortunate that somebody didn't alert them to the Lotus Sutra. But they're trying to find value with all this time they have on their hands, because they don't have to worry about money. You want to talk about stress and anxiety? Just think deeply about how many minutes during the day do you not think about money? Let's go to the mall, money. Let's take a drive, gas, expensive, money. What bill do we need to pay today? Let's go get lunch. How much is it going to cost? Can we afford it? Everything we do in life is ruled by stress and anxiety about economy. Even if you're fairly well off, you still are hyper aware of your monthly obligations, right? But just think, if you had the kind of wealth that's so huge that it takes care of itself, that you just never need to think about money, how much time would you suddenly have free of that stress and anxiety? And how could you make it of value, not money value, because that's not a worry, right? How do I make money is all about making value in your life, but that's not the true value. That's samsaric value. How do you find value for your life? Oh, much more profound question. Namo myoho renge kyo. Yeah. So when you detach from all of that stress and anxiety, and you have a purpose by attaining Gohonzon, Buddha mind, you suddenly are overwhelmed with compassion to bring others into that realization. You have a big job, but it's completely based on value, real value, enlightenment value. Wow. That is where the joy comes from. I can share this, and it's like you hear all the time in the sutras, the jewels, the diamond, the this or that, trying to establish some sort of value for this mind. Right? So the regrets, there's no regrets. There is joy in his mind, because the task ahead is all amazing. As he has joy, his mind is happy. As he is happy, his mind is at peace. It's not struggling with survival. As his mind is at peace, there comes about an immovable samadhi, a state of being that is unshakable, that simply knows the amazement that this life can provide, should you open your mind to it, awaken your Buddha. As the samadhi is immovable, there is true knowing and seeing, truly seeing the rapids, not being in them. As his mind is at peace, there comes about an immovable samadhi. As the samadhi is immovable, there is true knowing and seeing. Due to a true knowing and seeing, there is a parting from birth and death. A parting from birth and death. It's exactly what I've been saying. Birth, death, birth, death, birth, death is going on in me and you and everything. But unattached to that process, we can witness it with tremendous compassion and joy, because we're not stressed, anxious, frightened by it. Parting from birth and death, he achieves emancipation. Liberation from birth and death. Liberation from dukkha, the cause of suffering. As a result of emancipation, he clearly sees the Buddha nature. This is what we mean when we say that the Bodhisattva knows, sees, and realizes is not something that obtains in the world. This enlightenment doesn't come from the rapids, being in samsara. It comes from separation of it. Oh, good man, this is what the world does not know, see, or realizes. Let's go on a little further. Why do we say Buddha? He is awake. Himself awake, he also thoroughly awakens others. This is the Bodhisattva practice. This is why, this is the whole point of Shakyamuni's beginning, looking for this answer of living well while unencumbered by anxiety and all the rest of it. We'll just let that go in the background. It's my phone. Good man. For example, if one is aware that there is a robber present, the robber can do nothing. It is the same here. The Bodhisattva Mahasattva is awake to all the innumerable defilements. He sees the attachments. He sees the things that obfuscate Buddhahood, that hold people to thingness, thingifying, samsara. It becomes very visible, right? From that place of observation. Being awake to all defilements, he makes all defilements unable to do anything. They don't affect him. Hence, the Buddha, on account of this awakening, he is birthless, ageless, diseaseless, and deathless. Hence, the Buddha, the released one. This is what we achieve when we chant. We detach. This is what we're trying to do. Single-mindedly meet the Buddha. We have a perfect object to focus our eye consciousness on. Our mouth is spouting Buddhahood, invoking it. Our mind hears it. Our ears hear it. Our body feels it, because we don't chant like Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, blah, blah, blah. You can feel that vibrate in your body all the way to your toes, into the floor. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Demanding to awaken your Buddha nature. Right? The Bodhisattva Mahasattva has no teacher to ask and no place to learn, and yet he attains supreme enlightenment. Because the teacher, and I've said this so many ways, the teacher is ourselves. And through study, we teach ourselves. These videos, these podcasts, these readings and writings, they are for each one of us, you and you and you, all of us, to attain our own particular insights and understanding to what? To the same thing. Our road to Buddhahood, our path to Buddhahood, our Bodhisattva, instantiated human in samsara, path to awaken our own connection of Buddha, equanimity, energy, the same energy, whatever our samsaric form. It's only relevant because it provides the opportunity for awakening. Otherwise, it's like the, any of you ever make a terrarium? I'm showing my age again. It was a wonderful thing when we got tired of having fish in our aquariums. We could use the same aquarium and put peat moss in the bottom and rocks and so forth and make little dioramas like bonsai trees, right? Where you have a miniature little forest or garden and you put these little plants in there and you close the top, although you leave ventilation, but the condensation of the moisture in there, you put a little bit in there every now and again, it provides its own little weather system, a little forest. This is an amazing thing. It was a popular thing in the 70s. Still people are doing it, but terrarium, look into that. Anyway, my point was the bedrock on which the opportunity is for life to grow. After having attained it, he does not think in a stingy way, but always speaks about Dharma for the benefit of beings. And when you chant to your mandala and your Gohanzen opens up in your mind and you start to experience the Buddha, it's exciting. It's amazing. You got to tell someone, because that's the samsaric part of being a bodhisattva. We're human beings and we're all interconnected, and the only way we can truly connect really is in front of the mandala chanting together. And you feel that. You get two or more of you chanting at the same time, you feel it immediately. It's powerful. But in lieu of that, the only mechanism we have is this mouth and these words and these sounds that we make to try to communicate with one another. Parity. But there can be no true parity without removing yourself from birth death. That attachment to things keeps us apart. We can only truly achieve parity with others through Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, through our Buddhahood. This is why joy. Hence, inconceivable. You can't figure it out with words and teachings. You have to experience it. Then you'll know it. Oh, good man, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva is segregated from the body and is not the mouth, nor is he the mouth and is not the body. Okay, what does that mean? He is neither body nor mouth, and yet there is segregation. This is that border between samsara and enlightenment. You are in samsara, but you know from Buddha. You course as a bodhisattva with Buddha mind. We say that he is segregated from the body, but obviously he's in a body. His mind is segregated from the body. This means that the body that he is far removed from killing, stealing, and lust. Ah, the attachments of that body. This is why we say that he is segregated from the body and he is not the mouth. We say that there is a segregation from the mouth. This means that he is segregated from lies, double tongue, ill speaking, and meaningless words. This is why we say that he is segregated from the mouth, but not from the body. Isn't this the flip-flop of awakening while in samsara? Isn't this what he's discussing? We say that he's away from the body and mouth. This means to say that he is remote from greed, jealousy, anger, and distorted views. Oh, good man, this is why we say that he is segregated from both body and mouth. The Bodhisattva Mahasattva is none but the body and action of the one Dharma, and is far away from master, from being a master, and yet is not away from it. Hence, inconceivable. So, there's lots and lots more, and I invite you to read this sutra. But I want you to remember and keep in mind, the next one is 30, on Bodhisattva Lion's Roar. Please, when you read these other sutras, and certainly of note the Nirvana, keep in mind that we are Lotus Sutra Buddhists. That with Nichiren as our teacher, as our guidance counselor, if you will, we know where to look to find information. We know how to inculcate the meaning of Shakyamuni's teachings, the Dharma, its entirety, for our own mind, to create our own aha moments, our own insights, right? And practice correctly. But remember that you're a Lotus Sutra Buddhist. Because each sutra is written to the zeal of Shakyamuni's teachings to a particular audience. Never forget that. Only the Lotus Sutra is the Buddha saying, this is how I did it. This is how I achieved it. Therein lies your path to instant Buddhahood. These are the things I achieved. These are the things that I've experienced. And I'm sharing them with you objectively and subjectively for your utilization to attain exactly what I attained, this enlightenment. All other sutras are, okay, this is what you need to understand. Okay, this is what you need to understand. All of this will lead you there. Teaching to others is different than teaching this is what I have done, which is also a teaching to others, but it's from a perspective of self-dissemination, if you will. This is the path for which I achieved, you can achieve, all people can achieve. But everyone has different understandings, different levels, different paths, right? So there's a lot of teaching, years and years of teachings and sermons addressing from the point of view of the people's capacity that he was speaking to, whereas the Lotus Sutra is about the Buddha capacity, his own capacity. So when we read these others, even the Nirvana, which came afterward, we have to remember he's responding to people's questions that they're throwing at him. And there are direct references in the Nirvana. Just keep doing what I taught you in the Lotus Sutra. But he doesn't say that to everyone, because everyone, even that at that point, isn't ready to get it. However, they each, one by one, get converted. So Shakyamuni still, on his deathbed, is guiding people to their relationship with Buddha, their awakening. That's the Nirvana Sutra. All right, where are we time-wise? I think we covered enough ground today. Thank you for being here. Immense appreciation. Namo myoho renge kyo. Keep your practice strong. Stay healthy. Be kind to yourself. It's hard work, this life. It's hard work resonating above the stress and anxieties and pains and fears of this life. But there really is nothing to stress over, nothing to be afraid of. If you truly understand this amazing, huge process that we call life, right? You don't need to sink into the rapids. You can enjoy it from the sidelines and be fully immersed in samsara without it owning you. Your real identity is enlightenment. Your real identity is Buddha, your Buddha mind. I'll see you there. Okay. Thank you so much for watching, downloading the podcast. You know, the whole YouTube thing. And I'll see you in the next one. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo.